Then I'd ask that you please help me welcome our 10-minute speaker, Maziel.
I'm Mazzy, I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Mazzy.
Okay, let me set the timer. My sobriety date is November 12th, 2024, so I have a little over a year. I've been in and out of this program for 12 years. And I started drinking and using when I was 11, so really young. And I don't know, I remember feeling how we all felt, I think, at one point, just uncomfortable. And I knew that I had felt feelings like stronger and deeper than most people. And I couldn't handle that. And I couldn't handle the worthlessness that I felt or the racing thoughts. And when I drank and when I used, all of that went away and my head got quiet. And I knew that like using and drinking could, it was like what I could do to keep living. When I was really tiny, I remember thinking like I just didn't want to be here anymore. And alcohol and drugs were the solution for a really long time. So I went really hard and I drank and used every day, right out the gate. It was not pretty. I was living on my own when I was 15 and just like running the show. But I was introduced to this program when I was young too. And I started going to meetings and listening to people that were my age. And I related to everything they said. And I remember right away that I knew I was an alcoholic and I knew that this was the solution. And like there was no denying that at all. But then you fucking asked me to be rigorously honest with myself and with other people. And there was no way I was gonna do that. And I couldn't at that time in my life. That was something I just couldn't do. So then I had to figure out like, well, how can I have both? And because, you know, in alcoholic fashion, I needed it all. And I decided, like, I just tried to figure out how I can continue to go to this program and still use drugs and alcohol. And I tried every way that you could think of to do that for like 12 years. And I believe that if I convinced you and I hid and I saved face and I lied and I just fooled you and I convinced you that like I was okay and I was doing fine and I'd get the husband in the car and the house and be an amazing mother, that like then I could simultaneously drink and use the way that I wanted to and like self-medicate the only way that I knew how. So yeah, I did that for a long time and surprise, it did not work. January 24th, I hit a bottom that showed me that no matter what I do, if I put drugs and alcohol into my body, my life will become unmanageable and I'll severely hurt the people that I care about most. On that day, I was dope sick. And I decided to use fentanyl for the first time. And I passed out. Like, I couldn't wait to get it into my body. Like, I had to have it now. And so I think I used, like, a candle. And I passed out immediately. And then I woke up surrounded by flames. And my first thought, I remember distinctively being, how do I hide this? You know, how do I save face? How do I make this go away? No one can know I can't get caught, you know? And so I tried to put it out and I sustained 3-degree burns over 30% of my body. And I didn't stop using then. I kept on and it didn't work. You know, the feelings that I felt after that, I can't explain. The misery that I felt, like, it's hard for me to put into words, and I was just really depressed and my life was really small. I mean, I had burnt literally my life to the ground. So I remember distancing myself from my children, and that's when I knew I was really gonna kill myself. I was really getting ready to do it. And I didn't want to live, but I loved my kids and I couldn't do that to them. So I called the one person that reached out to me periodically throughout that relapse. And I called her and I started going to the meetings that she went to. And I asked her to be my sponsor. And I got into service. And I did just enough to feel comfortable to come back into these rooms. But comfortability was not what the fuck I needed. And I learned that really quick. So I asked this lady that I didn't even really know to be my sponsor. I just heard what she had to say and I liked it. And I wanted what she had, and so I sat down and I told her everything. This poor chick, dude, she, it was, I mean, not even a novel, like a dictionary. I had written so much, you know, and I needed to. Like, I had to have it in front of my face to look at it, and I had to say it out loud, because I'm really good at, like, delusion and not being in reality. That's one thing I was really good at the time. So I needed to look at it, and I needed to get brutally honest with her and tell someone else the stuff that made me hate myself. There was something to that, and there was something to finishing my steps and looking people in the eyes and making amends to them. And I don't know, I started seeking a higher power greater than myself, who I call the homie. And he is. He's the fucking homie. And he's always got my back. I can always talk to him, you know? And when I started seeking that and realizing that, like, he's been trying my whole life to show me that he's there in so many ways. And when I realized that, my life started to change significantly. I'm not perfect at all. I think it's really important to talk about that. You know, sometimes I still hurt the people that I love, and sometimes I'm still a fucking asshole, and sometimes I still act on character defects, and I say that because, like, I don't relate to anyone that doesn't say that. Like, if I came into the rooms and it was my first meeting and everyone was dressed to the nine and talking about all the gifts that they have today and not cussing at all, just prim and proper, I don't think I'd come back, because I already felt less than, and I already felt unworthy even of, like, you guys in AA. And so I talk about that a lot. And I got into service. I do stupid shit like this. Because it's the most beautiful part of this program is the hope that my experience can benefit other people, and to see it do that, you know, for others. And I'm of service in Young People's and Alcoholics Anonymous because we have a lot of fun. That group is really important to me. We laugh and we do crazy shit. And it's I did not get sober to not live. So I'm a secretary, I do coffee, all of the things. And my life has changed a lot today from what it was. You know, today I have self-worth, you know, and I have more confidence from doing all of those contrary actions that I didn't want to do, that scared the shit out of me. And my time's almost up, but I want to say that if you haven't seen somebody in these rooms in a little while, and there's somebody, you know, that you're used to seeing around that you just haven't in a little bit, to text them and to call them, because you don't know what a phone call can do for somebody. And just because they aren't in these rooms, maybe they've gone out, doesn't mean that the hand of AA shouldn't be there. And in fact, I think a lot of, I can only speak for myself, but I forget that the alcoholic who still suffers is the most important one. So I preach that and I do it. And I think I annoy the fuck out of a lot of people because of it. But it's important. Can't believe I'm saying it. I roll my eyes every time I hear it. But it's true for me today. I have a life that I wouldn't trade for a drink or a drug. And AA has given that to me. And I'm really grateful that I can say that. AA has given my kids a sober mom, and given them a sober dad, and given them sober grandparents. And that's fucking amazing. So thank you for being a part of that. And that's all I got.
Give another round of applause. Thank you.